Sportsnet 960.
.602 on your Thursday morning. A reminder, we're running our auction today. Coming up next week, it is the charity event, huge one up in Edmonton at Commonwealth. Helping out in support of Fort McMurray in the United Way. Nickelback, Blue Rodeo, Corb Lund, Dean Brody, Dallas Smith, Brett Kissel, Rankin Bandit, Randy Bach, a whole bunch of huge outdoor concert is what we're telling you. And all the money goes to the Fort McMurray United Way. Bidding today, four tickets to the concert. Round trip airfare to Edmonton on the Sportsnet 960 private plane with Integra Air. And round trip limo to and from Commonwealth. 403-240-4444. The number to call in with your bid. It runs till 6 tonight. And again, you'll be helping out. And in less than a week's time, you'll be heading up to the big concert. That'll be awesome. So get on it now. Jason DeForest would love, just love to take your call. We're at...
Let's talk your ear off.
Oh, man, he's just jibber-jabber. Not Jason DeForest.
Boy, how about the weather today? It's going to be great. Yeah, the weekend. Yeah, that's good. Yeah,
how about Vegas, hey? You think it's going to work?
Yeah. I went to Vegas once. I had a good dentist there.
I have my reservations about it, but clearly...
Oh, that guy's a f***ing scuzzbag.
Canada Sports Hall of Fame, their annual golf event is being held today at the Hamptons. Beautiful start. I could almost golf today.
No.
Yeah, like well, maybe.
I think you'd think about it, but there's no way you actually golf today.
Well, I do have stuff.
What percentage chance would you really give it?
You know, it'd be high. It wouldn't be nearly double digits right now. I'd go over. I'll go 12%.
Over 10%.
That's high, right?
That's huge for you.
Just because it's so nice. Look at the greens are tight.
This isn't great sleeping weather. It's bright. It's warm.
I know. Yeah. Hot. Yeah. Jeez. Yeah.
That gets you from 8 to 12. Maybe.
I got that AC cranked though.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. The awards. Did you watch the awards?
No, of course not.
I didn't either. And there.
I'm still trying to sort out all these new-ish ones.
It was almost like I did it out of spite, because I was there, I was reading stuff online and whatever. It's like, well, okay, and keep checking Twitter and they pop up. It's like I could turn the TV on. It's right there, but I just I elected not to.
It's fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So you've seen one of these. Okay, they screwed up. It's really bad. But if you actually watch it twice, it would be your issue that you know it's bad and you're tuning in.
Yeah. Either way, I don't know. The controversy in Edmonton over the Calder and controversy in Ottawa over the Norris. People can't believe that Doughty got it over Carlson, and how could, in spite of the fact that McDavid missed time last year, how could you go with a 24-year-old man who's been playing for years?
I just like the storyline in Edmonton that they've been hard done by, you know, with all those lottery wins, and that a guy that missed, what, half the year didn't get an award? That's pretty rich for me, I got to be honest. Like, was he dominant? Yes. But if Patrick Kane played half a season and he was the best player in the league, would he win the Hart? Absolutely not. If Braden Holtby got 30 starts, would he win the Vezina? No. Stop your whining.
Yeah, something to that effect. I don't...
But it's Edmonton, so you know.
If I'm...
You know that media market well. It's...
But if I'm the
logic
Oilers,
never really prevailed.
I'll probably... I'll take McDavid over Panarin and... Go ahead. You can have the trophy. We'll take McDavid.
Sure. Yeah.
That would be my initial thought. But and in fairness, it's more a media thing. The media takes it personally.
Yes, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. Because Gretzky got screwed, right? Remember, Gretzky didn't win the Calder.
Boy, that guy couldn't get a break either, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yet they seemed okay with it in spite of that Calder snub. Things worked out. Hopefully they can let...
He did get an award of some sort at some point, not named the Calder, though, I think.
Yeah.
Won a few things.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Outside of that, I mean, the awards are what they are. I don't even know. To sit here and debate them?
Nope.
I mean, we debate just about anything.
I was a little surprised that Doughty won, just given how prolific the offense was from Carlson.
Well, but, see, that's the controversy.
I don't know that that's a snub or controversy. It just surprised me a little.
The thought being there are some Canadian sports writers
that really
felt like, yeah, it's time Doughty won one. Doughty's really good. He's never won one. It's his time. And then he wins, and then Ottawa's upset, and there are some other writers who are saying, well, that ain't right.
Are you upset that Gio didn't win the King Clancy?
No, he did win the Foundation Award.
I just don't know what the difference is.
Yeah.
They're both for community work and stuff, which is great. It's just, there's two. Why are there two?
I thought it was interesting, too, just because, again, I can't... What is it? Professional sports writer hall of... I don't even know what it is. Watching some of the voting that did take place, like Colton Pareko gets... what is it? Chris Johnston. He had the whole list. Watching's because you have to put in your top five, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then that's how they collect points.
And watching some of the votes... Little curious.
Well, the year that
it gets really, really kind of personal.
If we want to get local media and controversy, well, how about the year that Iginla should have got the Hart? Someone left him off their ballot or had him third in Quebec.
Well, I think it was zero.
Well,
he got no
votes.
Yeah,
and that was enough to give Jose Theodore the Hart, which is ridiculous that year because he scored 51, and the next closest was what 40 or 38. Like it was. Whew.
This is called Preparation on the Fly, Ryan, is what
yes,
this is.
Yes, yeah, I'm watching.
Lady Bing, Selkie, Norris. I don't know if there's a whole lot of controversy there. It's watching where the first place...
Pareko would have been in the Calder, no? Isn't
watching
that where he would have gotten
Yeah, where the first place votes come. Like, Colton Pareko got one first-place vote for the Calder.
Hello, St. Louis sports
So
writer.
Someone out there said, over Goss, Despair, McDavid, and Panarin, Pareko should be the number one.
Dylan Larkin got one, two for Jack Eichel. I don't know if that's that crazy. I mean, Pareko had a good year. Just one guy out of how many?
Still, somebody voted
one
for him.
One guy out of 150. It's like, okay, well, it's less than 1%. That probably sounds about right.
I think you're missing what I'm saying. If you voted Colton Pareko first on your ballot,
mm-hmm.
you shouldn't have a ballot.
So what would you say about Dylan Larkin?
Probably about the same.
Okay, because it's one of those. And what about Jack Eichel? No way he was close to Panarin or McDavid as a forward. There's another one. So there's four guys that shouldn't have a vote?
Probably.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
You probably shouldn't have a vote. Yeah. And two guys...
Like, it's not like anyone left McDavid or... Panarin off the ballot. That would be the controversy in my mind.
And then for Panarin, two guys voted him fifth.
That's outrageous.
So you two, you're also gone.
Mm-hmm.
Because Panarin had to have finished first, second, third, or fourth.
Jeez.
So two guys like, no, he was probably about the fifth best rookie. Goodbye. This is why I don't like the awards. Because you get these blockheads that don't know what they're doing.
Yes. No, Pareko is insane. That's... Well put.
Thanks. We'll break here. Coming up a little bit later on,
Max
we are
Domi
at the
two second places. Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm telling you, we're at the Hamptons. Head pro Bob Forshner is gonna drop by, talk about what's going on here. This has been the home course for this event for a number of years, and doing so once again. A little bit later on, expected to be joined by Brian Trottier, former Islander great, won a cup with the Pittsburgh Penguins as well. He's got some jewelry. We'll talk to him. Always good catching up with him as well. The Keith Yandle deal is terrible. I know there's some people on the fan feedback line. Well, you know, if you look at the no.
So you're not even hearing it out. If you look at the what would you look at? Like, are we expecting something to hit the earth in 4 years?
Well,
so you don't have to pay him the last 3 years.
He scored more points as a defenseman over the last 5 years than everybody not named Erik Karlsson. I'm sorry. They've made all of these changes in Florida, and if
this is a weird one.
If this is what they're subscribing to, I don't get it. 7 years times $6.35 million.
I don't think if it was 3 years, $6.35 million, you'd be like, yeah, okay, well, it's you're paying for offense.
That's a completely different contract for sure.
Yeah. But so what we're agreeing on then is that the term is a little loopy.
Yeah, like 100% more than it should be, but I'll take 50. I'm not sure. You said yesterday he's a 3-4 or a, what would you call him, a 5-6 defenseman?
Yeah, 4-5 somewhere in there. That's a lot of dough.
It's a lot of dough for
yeah. And what did we see Mike Green get? 5-6 last year from Detroit. He's a 5 in my mind.
It's big dough, but I guess if you need it, you're losing. We'll talk about it later. I'm not going to allow myself to be convinced. That's where I'm going to be stubborn today.
Term's silly. That's what you're saying. Just to sum you up, the term is what makes you mad.
No, it doesn't. I don't really care. But
okay,
if you're going to fire everybody, then make moves that make sense. Don't fire everybody and then sign Yandel to a 7-year contract.
What did you think of the good Branson one when that went down?
They
get a second, a fifth, I think, from Vancouver as well, plus McCann, and then going back a fourth and good Branson a year away from.
I would feel like young forwards are easier to replace than young D, but I don't.
Yeah.
I profess to not having seen enough of good Branson up close. Fair. I liked what I saw out of McCann. He looked like a good young player.
Yeah, 9 goals is an 18-year-old, but 19-year-old, yeah.
6:13, we will break. The Pinder Report coming up, 3 stars, and guests plenty here at the Hamptons. It is the Canada Sports Hall of Fame annual golf event. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Back to Boomer in the Morning with Ryan Pinder on Sportsnet 960.
Going through the rules and regulations on this new team that's going to Las Vegas. The expansion draft, everything that needs to be done with that as teams try and figure out who they're going to be able to protect and who they will not. The Vegas team, whatever they will be, I thought it was interesting that they said, well, I'm, the owner, Foley, says, I'm really partial to the Black Knights, but maybe that's not the right team name at the right time. Maybe we need to take a longer look at it. So, remains to be seen what the team will be known as. They will select one player from all of the 30 teams. They need to have at least 14 forwards, 9 defense, and 3 goalies. They need to have at least 20 players who have contracts through the 17-18 season, meaning they can't just take a bunch of expiring contracts. They got to have some guys who are going to be there. And the contracts have to be at least 60% of the salary cap. So they can't just pick, you can't just sneak over the floor and hang there. So where does it leave the other teams? I think teams are going to be able to absorb this. The protected lists need to be put in by June 17th of 2017, and then the draft itself will be held 3 days later. So the executive will have about 3 days. Probably a pretty good idea if they have any kind of discussions with the other teams. They'll have a pretty good idea of who's obviously going to be available and let teams know who they will be selecting. So there is that, but it's exciting, I suppose. It's a great city. It's a fun city. And if they can get enough fans, why not?
That's just the only if. It's the biggest if. It's the one wild card, right? Will this be a full building? I think it'll work. I know there's a lot of negativity around it, but there's a lot smaller metropolitan areas in the NHL that have done very well.
Well, I was going to say how
Las Vegas is way bigger than Greater Nashville.
How
like,
do they?
Way bigger.
How many fans do they need in there to be considered a success, even like a middle-of-the-road type of a team in terms of profitability?
You'd probably want to be north of 80-90% of capacity, but I think more important than that is what seats are sold. As long as it's the suites and the expensive ones, you're going to be fine, right? If it's the $20 bleeders that aren't selling, you're okay.
Coming up a little bit later, Brian Trottier going to join us. We'll do the 3 stars. We'll get into detail on this. Other things that are coming out basically from Buffalo in terms of the trade talk. It got hot, and then it got a little quiet. But a couple of, I guess, noteworthy things happening yesterday. Keith Yandle signs his deal. We'll discuss more about that. Milan Lucic is going to market, already in Edmonton and Vancouver. I'm sure among other places, but specifically those two, they're licking their chops already to get a hold of Lucic.
Third team I've heard is the Islanders, and that's not like me hearing a source, but reading some stuff like where potential landing spots. I think if Gar Snow calls up and says, "Do you want to play on Tavares' wing?" That probably trumps anything player-wise that Vancouver can say. I'm sure Edmonton could say McDavid, but that's going to be a really attractive slot for free agents. Whoever's going to play on the wing of Tavares' line.
Ducks apparently there as well.
And really?
That would make sense.
Jeez.
Right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. That
would make
exactly
good,
how they play.
That would make good sense there, too. So we'll get into that, and obviously as things develop over the course of the morning, we will bring them to you. We will have one timeout here and come back with the head pro, Bob Forshner, going to join us here on a beauty day. Great day for the Canada Sports Hall of Fame. The annual golf event that they have here at the Hamptons. Today is the big day. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer in the morning with Pinder. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
When you book a golf event of this magnitude, you just pray that the weather is going to be all right. You bring people in from out of town. They fly in, hotels, banquets, everything, and it's please let this day be nice. And they have hit a home run today as the Canada Sports Hall of Fame, the annual golf day, all part of kind of a calendar year of celebration and events leading up to the induction ceremonies. And we'll kind of give you an idea of who is being inducted and talk with a number of them. Right now, our guest here at the Hamptons, the head pro, Bob Forshner, joins us. Did you order this weather today? You put in the request and you've got it? Is that how it works?
We order it and we do take credit for it as well.
I bet you, and you should. Beautiful stuff. It hasn't always been this way. I remember being here a few years and we'd have the doors closed on the shack here to try and keep warm.
That's true. It's going to be an awesome day, and we're really looking forward to it.
So how are things at the Hamptons?
Things are great. We went back to a private membership model late last year, and we're excited about that. So the Hamptons is back to a private club, and again, that's exciting for the members.
Yeah, because it was, then it wasn't, now it is again. How did that route kind of transpire?
Well, it was an interesting transition from one ownership to another, and it just was a reflection of the business model that the previous ownership had and the new ownership had, and then there was a smooth transition back to that membership model.
Not always smooth, right?
Well, yeah, it was challenging, shall I say.
Well, I mean, this one was. It can often not be as smooth when you talk
That's
to
correct.
Other people.
That's correct, yeah.
So what as far as improvements, anything changed for people that are going to enjoy the course this summer?
Made no structural changes to the golf course. It's the same as it has been for 20 years. It's in good shape, and I think the folks will have a wonderful time out there today.
I know it's there's different pieces to it, right? I keep coming back to the clubhouse. It's as beautiful a clubhouse as you're going to have in the city or anywhere. It's luxurious, to say the least.
Yeah, no, it's fun to come to work in a clubhouse like this, and you know, it's very functionally correct as well. It's very well laid out.
Yeah, so the golf memberships, just golfer turnout. I know there are some courses that are hurting. What's been your experience here?
It's full steam ahead here at the Hamptons. As I said, we have a full membership, and people are coming out to play golf, lots of golf.
Yeah. The inclusion with this event, the Canada Sports Hall of Fame, how did it start, the marriage or the relationship between the Hall of Fame and the Windmill Group?
I believe how it started was our owner, Barry Ellert, took the bull by the horn, so to speak, and approached the Sports Hall of Fame, and I think that's how the whole initiative started, and signed a five-year deal with these folks, and hope to continue that for many years to come.
I know it's kind of nice to have this event because it can be, when the induction ceremonies happen, it's a little stressful and it's big and you're in suits or tuxedos and it's not that it's not enjoyable, but it's a high-pressure situation. Here it's nice to enjoy some of the people, the current members of the Hall of Fame, the inductees, on a little bit less stressful of a scenario.
Absolutely. I think those folks like to get into their golf clothes more than they do in their suits as well.
Yeah, athletes in particular, right?
Yeah, exactly.
This is the home turf for them.
Exactly.
We're fortunate to have this Hall of Fame. I still think there's a lot of people who have never been there or don't recognize exactly what it is, but it is world class, and fortunate to have it here in our city.
I agree 100%. I know there was some consternation from the folks in Toronto that would move out here, but I think it's been a good fit.
We don't worry about them. Right? We don't worry about them too much. So what do you expect today? How many golfers are heading through?
It's a full field, at least 144, and looking forward to seeing all the new inductees this year and meeting those folks.
Well, thanks for dropping by. Course looks great. Now, I haven't seen a lot of it, but sitting right here.
Yeah, no, it's in great shape.
It's in great shape.
I got one for Bob before we let you run here. This is a huge summer for golf in this city. The Shaw Charity Classics kind of morphed into a major event on the Champions Tour. You've got the women's stopping at Pritis late August, the ATP Financial Classic, amongst others. And you've got a tie in with that as well, but just sort of the health of golf in this city versus elsewhere. It seems like there's a lot of people, you know, worrying about numbers waning, but it's not really the story in Calgary as much as it is other places, is it?
Well, I think probably there's been, obviously, with the downturn in the oil and gas industry, there's been some effect on golf in Alberta, but typically per capita there's more golfers in Alberta than any other province in the country, and certainly they support the major golf tours events that come through here more so than any other province in the country as well.
Cool. And you've got qualifiers coming up for three of those events I mentioned as well.
Yeah, we have the final stage of the Shaw this year. We have a Canadian Tour event qualifier, plus we also have the CP Women's qualifier here.
Ah, cool.
Enjoy it. Get some rest.
Thanks, gentlemen.
You'll need it.
You're right.
You betcha. Thanks
a lot.
There you go. Bob Forshner, the head pro, the Hamptons, part of the Windmill Group. The Windmill Group getting bigger and stronger, and everywhere you look, it seems like they've added something here and something there. A force in Alberta golf.
Yeah, well, Mickelson National, there's one of their projects. They've got Wilderness Club down in Montana, which everyone raves about. I've not had the chance to go, but will in the fall.
Do you want to pump some tires here to...
I've already chatted with Bob numerous times.
Yeah.
No, it's a great course here. I love playing the Hamptons.
Maybe Barry Ellert, you need to...
I could rub shoulders.
You know what?
Rush elbows.
Barry, just a great guy. When you talk about great guys, they don't get much better than Barry.
If you don't like Barry, you don't like humans.
That's right. If you don't like Barry Ellert, you don't like humans. Just despicable.
Is it Brett Howden, or was it?
It was Brett Howden. Because, you know, Quentin Howden, his older brother, a recent draft pick, he's a member of the Florida Panthers.
Yeah.
So last night, we did the mock draft with Sam Cosentino and Peter Labardius. And it's kind of interesting because they both bring their own lists, and they stick to them. They don't bow to the pressure of the other. They're confident in their picks. It's like, well, I you have him higher than I do, so I'll take so and so. Oh, that's really, you're going off the board, that sort of thing. But at what was it, pick number 23, Labardius selected Brett Howden, and he is a big fan of the kid and of the family.
Mm. Which, you know, you'd understand.
Yeah. To the point he said they're good people.
Better than good people.
So good that if you don't like the Howdens, you don't like humans.
No, you don't like going out in public, but you like humans.
There's a
right?
number there's, of humans I like.
Yeah. I mean, a small number, but a number.
Yeah.
Brett doesn't like
the majority of them can really do without.
Yeah, but the Howdens you could do with.
Well,
apparently.
Based on what I've heard.
Yeah, yeah. The scouting reports.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah.
One for you. I know you don't want to give away the meat of the mock draft.
It's fine. It's aired once. People can catch it online for download, and it'll be airing between today, and I know it's going tomorrow afternoon in advance of the actual draft.
Where did Mr. Michael McLeod end up going? Because that was a name that I had heard very lately, higher in one place than I'd seen in others. Did he crack the top 10?
He did not crack the top 10.
Interesting.
Yeah, between 10 and 20.
All
I
right.
can't recall exactly off the top of my head. Yeah. I could have kept the list. Maybe I do have the list.
That's
now that I think about it.
Curious. Cause
did I keep the list here? I think I did. Nope, I didn't.
All right, well, there you are.
There you go. Guess you're going to have to listen.
Oh, I will, yeah. Well, as soon as I'm done, I think I'll probably.
Because you can down, you know, you can download it.
Yeah.
Do you think DeForest is back there?
No.
And if you know anything about this family from Manitoba,
don't play it
these
now.
These aren't good people. If you don't like the Howdens, you don't like humans. So he comes from, this guy comes from about as good a stock as you could find.
Stock.
It's like he's talking about cattle.
Good people. Milan Lucic going to market.
Oh, you don't like humans.
Mm-hmm. I don't, Lou. You're right.
That's right.
You're correct. Lucic, you've had an opinion. You've had thoughts on Lucic.
I just thought his last year in Boston 2 years ago was not strong. Looked like he was slowing down a bit. You know what? I was wondering, geez, you know, is this an early decline for a power forward? Power forwards typically do sort of fall off cliffs once you get around 30, but what a renaissance this year in L.A. He fit exactly what they were doing and the way they played. You know, that's a perfect match for his game. Can he find it elsewhere? And or was 2 years ago the was that the anomaly?
Interesting that in the last 3 years he's been healthy, because that was kind of the knock on him. He had the 46 game. Well, he played 46 of 48, I suppose. But for a guy that plays that rugged style, he's been able to stay healthy. He's missed, what, 4 games in the last 3 regular season. I can see why the Oilers would want him.
Yep.
Because they covet that type of player anyway.
They're getting big up front. You look at the guys they've been collecting, Maroon and Cassian. It's yikes.
Depth down the middle, if you can add a guy like this, you maybe change your strategy and how you draft this year. I don't know if that impacts it at all, I guess, but I can see why they would be.
That's fair.
What would be for you if you're... Well, let me start here. There's no appetite here, is there?
You don't have the cap space. I mean, if you don't want to sign a number one goalie, you can go get Lucic. But he's going to cost 6+, I would think, on ample term. You tell me how with $20 million cap space, you're going to sign Gaudreau, Monahan, a goalie, and then deal with Joe Colburn.
Right.
Like, there's just no room.
So for the Oilers, if you were running that team, what's the comfortable term? Because I don't think you're going to get it. He's 28. This is his home run contract.
I would think term's going to be where the player, if the player's got leverage and that's tiebreaker, term's going to win. So I don't know that 6 years would be crazy for a guy that takes him to his 34. Beyond that, you'd be a little worried, wouldn't you? I mean, you might be worried with 6 to begin with.
I was going to say I'd be worried with 6.
Yeah, but then you might not get him.
You won't get him.
The problem is, in theory, you have to outbid 29 other GMs, right? So what you want for term is not what you're going to get with Lucic. It's just not.
18 goals 2 years ago.
Well, and how many more than Bomo was that 2 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
One or two? Like, that's why I thought this guy was doing the death spiral here.
18 2 years ago, his final year in Boston. They ship him to L.A. He scores 20, had 24 in the year. I mean, he's a 20-goal guy. He's had a 30-goal season, 26, 24, 18, and 20. He's a 20-goal guy, and depending if he goes to Vancouver, does he play with the Twins? If he goes to Edmonton, do you play him with McDavid? Where do you put him? And we've talked, again, just reading again online, the Detroit Red Wings seem like they want to be in on everybody.
Yeah.
Stamkos, who you name it, they're in on.
I don't know how they're going to do that, to be honest.
I don't either. I think
here's they're going to have to move the Datsyuk cap hit, to
yes.
be sure. Like, that has to get done. Jimmy Howard's a problem. DeKeyser needs to get paid. Mrazek's get owed a very large raise.
The Ducks.
Ducks is a great fit.
Great fit.
They're big. They play that way. He clearly enjoyed being in L.A., the market. And on top of that, like, window to win now, you're already not going to be great probably in 4 or 5 years because of some of the money they've got with term there. I think that's a great fit, Anaheim.
The other name that's still kind of kicking around is Louis Erickson.
Mm-hmm.
Very quiet, hey, when you think about it, when it comes down to sheer production, he might be outside of Stamkos the top producing forward, one of the top 2 or 3 producing forwards,
really?
But yet no one's talking about him.
Good year this year.
Yeah.
But pretty quiet first couple of years in Boston, right? Like, you look back to his Dallas days, he was always called the most underrated player in the league because he just put up 60, 70 points and no one would talk about him. But it's been a different story in Boston. I thought the first couple of years they wouldn't have been really pleased with what he produced, but last year it was off the charts. I mean, look at the numbers. How much better was he last year than the others in Boston?
First year, he played 61 games, 10 goals, 37 points, jumped to 47 in year two, and then last year, 30 goals, 63 points.
Yeah, 30 goals. Whew.
Yeah. He wants 6 years. Apparently, the Bruins... Geez.
6 years.
The Bruins are talking four. It's the term that scares me with all of these things. Like Keith Yandle, okay, 7 years?
Term's the killer.
7 years. And you're going to have to go six or five on a guy like Erickson. You got to go six on Lucic. If I'm a general manager, I'm sitting on my hands. I'm waiting.
Yeah, and look at the teams that are in trouble. It's not necessarily the amount of money you're paying guys. It's the term. Like Columbus, it isn't insane money that Tootin and Hartnell and Foligno make. It's just that those deals go forever.
They signed all of them.
Term is the killer.
To those huge term deals. And 2021, you look there, they've got four guys that their contracts go until 2021. Now, good players, sure, but you're locked in. You better hope that, Nick Foligno's not a guy that I need locked in till 2021.
With a no move and all that. I think they got six no moves on that team.
Gross. Gross, gross.
Big time.
We'll break here. The Pinder Report coming up. After 7 o'clock, more guests going to slide by the Canada Sports Hall of Fame golf event, the annual golf event here at the Hamptons. Brian Trottier expected to join us. Stephanie Dixon will swing by as well. We got the three stars and plenty more. The on-air auction, we'll give you the details when we come back on how you can help out the United Way in Fort McMurray. It's 6:39, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Since Warner gets 4 months off every summer, we have to change the name of the show for a while. Thanks, Rhett. Nice effort. Boomer in the Morning with Ryan Pinder. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
We're looking for your help and your support today. The on-air auction will run until 6 tonight. It is the Fire Aid Benefit Concert. Fire Aid for Fort McMurray, Commonwealth Stadium in Edmonton next Wednesday. All the money raised from ticket sales and everything going to the Fort Mac United Way. Nickelback going to be there. Blue Rodeo, Cor Blund, you recall, like what we had with the flood relief. Well, think of this up in Edmonton. We want to help out. Four tickets to the Fire Aid concert, round-trip airfare to Edmonton on the Sportsnet 960 private plane with Integra Air, round-trip limo service to and from Commonwealth. All of that is yours if you have the winning bid. Again, runs till 6 tonight. You can call our studios, 403-240-4444. And the winner will be contacted soon after 6 till tonight, and you'll be booked. And helping out a great cause as well. So get your wallet out and help out if you can. A little bit later on this morning, we'll get into the three stars. Guests going to join us here. Looking forward to chatting with Brian Trottier. Always great chatting with him. He's just as down-to-earth a guy, great guy as there is. You know, I've told this story. It sounds goofy, but I remember playing in a media charity celebrity thing. I would be the media. He would be the celebrity. And he has just a unique skating style. If you watched back in the day, if you watched Trottier, he obviously, to see it up close and beyond the ice, like, man, that's Brian Trottier. He just had a skating style all of his own. And just a good old Saskatchewan boy that went to New York City and won a bunch of cups and then went to Pittsburgh and won another one there. Small town boy did good, and now he's going into the Canadian Sports Hall of Fame. So that is pretty cool.
Was he there for all four?
I believe so.
Wow. So he has five cups?
Oh, he's...
That's exceptional. I mean,
his career...
He'd be six, I guess, because the Pittsburgh went back-to-back. I don't know if he'd be there for
I think he was there for one of them, to
Holy.
Be honest.
Holy.
But I could be wrong.
You know what? I feel like the one thing that's overshadowed in the NHL doesn't get talked about enough was the four cups in a row from the Islanders. And maybe it's just my age, because I would have been 0, 1, 2, 3 years old or whatever, but... There's not a lot of those games on TV. You don't see the highlights. It's the Islanders, this franchise. It's kind of one of those ugly younger brother franchises. Mm-hmm. It wasn't at that point, and maybe isn't now with, you know, being in Brooklyn. But you just don't hear about it. You hear about the Oilers dynasties all the time. You hear about the Habs all the time, la, 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 la. But that was probably the most dominant run. I think they had the number, the consecutive series wins, they hold the NHL record in terms of series played without losing one.
For a guy that was 5'11", 195, he played like he was 6'2", 210, 1,279 games, 524 goals, 1,425, so nearly a point-a-game guy. Likewise, in the postseason, he was in Pittsburgh for the 90-91 and 91-92 season, so that's a couple cups there, plus the four. And then throw in a Calder Trophy, Art Ross, Hart, Conn Smythe, and a King Clancy.
Whew.
Sneaky, legendary.
Yes, big time.
Yeah, absolutely. A stud. Six cups.
It's not six.
It's not Kevin Lowe's 10.
Right.
But
right.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty all right. He knows about winning. Kevin
that's
Lowe.
Right. Yeah. That's right. Let's. He won seven cups. One as an assistant with Colorado.
Can we hire this guy? Can he get shortlisted by Extra Living?
Seven cups.
Like, let the guy fill water bottles. This guy just wins. I don't think he'd want to, but...
I've won 10 cups! Yeah, it's not quite 10, but it's close. It's time for the Pinder Report.
The Pinder Report for Motorworks, the only independent shop that works exclusively on BMWs with only BMW trained technicians. Google Motorworks Calgary or visit them just east of Chinook Mall.
The Pinder Report with Ryan Pinder. Ryan?
Good morning, Dean. Let's start with Vegas. Yes, the franchise is heading there in 2017-18. The worst-kept secret in the hockey world made official yesterday. A Board of Governor meeting in the afternoon before we went to the awards last night. Let's rip through them. Yeah. Was that dry heave about something?
What was that?
I don't know. Jay, what was the dry heave about there? I don't know. To the awards, let's start with a big night for Patrick Kane. He picks up the Ted Lindsay, of course, the players voted MVP, as well as the Hart Trophy.
Hot.
No doubt on this one, was mm-hmm. there? He was the most dominant player in the league right from the start. Nearly lapped the field, it felt like, on points midway through. This was a dominant performance from Kane. I'm surprised he's the first American-born to win the Hart. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's kind of...
Like, what? How is that a thing?
Who would have been the others, I guess, that would have really garnered...
It's just shocking. I think there's been a lot of really good...
The Hat?
Hot.
Maybe you look back to the Rangers, maybe a guy like Richter or Brian Leetch.
Leetch, who won a Conn Smythe, and he was the first American to do that.
Yeah, the... Mike Modano.
Modano, for sure.
Would have been that the most valuable player on those teams. But no question. And this one's undeniable. It's the kind of the nice thing. He was... by far and away, the leader on that team in terms of points and getting them on, because he had that huge point streak, and they had that huge win streak. Easy to forget how good that season was when you lose in round one.
What's worse, Chicago's cap situation or Kane's hairline?
Well, it's they're meeting in the middle, one slowly catching the other.
Oh, jeez.
Twitter is just the worst.
It's the best and the worst.
It's when it's not the best, it's the worst, or vice versa. Jeez. Just getting crushed for his thinning hair.
Can I wear a ball cap? No, you gotta.
No,
just,
you're gonna have to.
No hats on stage. There's lights.
He tried though. I mean, he's.
Dr. Phil called. He wants his haircut back.
Oh,
jeez. Get some plugs, dude. It's 2016.
Hey, and you know what? I don't know if you've been following Euro, but Rooney for England, he got the plugs. Looks great. You know, if you got the dough, get some flow.
He's got the
you
dough.
You got dough, you get flow.
It's amazing the technology that exists, Patrick.
Other award winners, the Vezina, no surprise, went to Braden Holtby. We expected that. The Norris, I think we were expecting Carlson. I suppose when voters do one thing, you would expect them to repeat that action for the same activities. I don't know that the Doughty was particularly better than he's been in years past or that Carlson was worse. They had voted Carlson Norris winner for having seasons not even as good as last year's, in my opinion. And your winner is Drew Doughty. So congrats to Drew. And that was a bit of a surprise. I'm sure Ottawa fans are up in arms. Elsewhere,
well, and the vibe here, or at least the underlying feeling, is that there's a media, if not a campaign, just that, well, you know, Drew's never gotten one. He's got a good season,
he's
a little bit
nice
underrated.
Boy.
He should be the Norris trophy winner.
Lady Bing and Selke, a double for Anze Kopitar of the Kings. we can't call him underrated anymore, right, when he keeps winning awards like this?
When he's winning awards and he's paid, like, what, $10 million a year?
And he's won two cups?
You're no longer underrated.
He's now a captain? Yeah, okay. Jack Adams to Barry Trotz for the job he did in Washington. They actually clinched the President's Trophy before anyone else in the East had clinched a playoff spot. They were that good. It's tough to remember now because they got beat by Pittsburgh in round two, but that's how it went down. The Calder curious because we had a dominant half season from McDavid, an incredible run from a rookie defenseman, which is not easy to do, 16 straight point games of the point. Brian Leetch was the last guy to do that way back in the mid-90s. And then how do you compare that to a guy on a top line playing with the league's MVP and Patrick Kane with Artemi Panarin? Well, Panarin, best player for the full course of the season, he wins. I think they get this one right.
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of people that, geez, who's it going to be? These aren't as hard as we make them out to be sometimes. I mean, Panarin was really good. He was a point-per-game guy, and yeah, is he older? He is. But it was still what he was able to accomplish.
He's not the youngest guy in the league award.
Yeah. So
first year in the league, that's the award. Daniel or Henrik, I don't even know because I can't tell them apart. One of the cities.
Well, they're twins.
Won the King Clancy. I should be familiar with that,
yeah.
Shouldn't I? Yeah. They're identical twins. Did you know that?
So they look very similar.
So similar.
Yeah.
So one of the cities won the King Clancy. Other stuff. How about GM of the year? Talk about a comeback story. This guy was talking about playing shuffleboard, maybe toning back the work hours a few years ago in Carolina. He goes to Pittsburgh. Our old buddy, Jim Senior Rutherford.
God, how did he stay awake for this award show?
Now listen here, James Jr. We're going to put you in a nice tuxedo, head down to Las Vegas, son.
What time does it start?
We're going to get on a train to get there.
5 o'clock? Well, that's usually when I'm tucking myself into bed.
I'll put a telegram out. I'm sure there's a nice hotel there. We could get a room, maybe a little cot for you, Jimmy Jr.
The guy's got two cups, and we're making fun of him.
Well, a hell of a job. You think about that HBK line, all three guys he brought in, Hagelin from Anaheim, Bonino from Vancouver, and obviously the Phil Kessel deal as well. So multiple soundtracks for Jim. I don't know if you knew that. NHL Foundation Award goes to Mark Giordano. Congrats to the Flames captain. This is a community service. Make the universe around you a better place with your actions. That's definitely consistent with what we know about Gio. Very active in the community. Education, young kids. This has sort of been one of his major focuses. And
yeah, I don't know.
No surprise to anyone here in town.
I guess. Yeah, I mean, it's
a bit of a jerk.
Enough now.
Are you trying to trade him out of town like Retro, or are you?
Hey, maybe I'm hearing things.
Come on, stop it. The Mark Messier Leadership Award goes to Shea Weber. How does Messier have an award before Gretzky has an award, by the way?
Yeah.
Like, is this like the right guard plus minus deodorant award here? When did this start happening?
It's the mythology of the whole thing. The I guarantee a win against New Jersey, and they win, even though it wasn't really so much that.
No.
But he's regarded as the greatest leader of all time.
Whoa.
And now has his own award.
Connor, you there?
See, because if I heard Messier Award, I would have thought that would have been the hockey player that was in the most ads on TV this season would win that. Do you think that would?
He's got to figure out how to use a phone, though. He can't tell if the guy's on. Like, it's.
Are you there, Connor?
Mark,
are you there?
Mark, it's voicemail. It's voicemail, Mark. And he's not really there.
Hey, Connor.
And
you got to see this.
Connor, are you there?
Are you there?
No, it's his voicemail, you old goat.
Is he deaf in one ear? Has he got it to the wrong side of his head? You can't hear if Connor's there. And the Masterton Award goes to Jaromir Jagr. That must be for being the oldest, biggest
beauty
in the
league. Just play the music again.
Why not?
Yeah,
exactly. let's get to some NHL gossip. Milan Lucic says he's going to be a free agent. I think when you get past the trade deadline and this close to July 1, pretty hard to stay put. He could always sign in LA still, but at this point, why not at least listen to what other teams have to offer? Your clubhouse leaders, his hometown Vancouver, and the Edmonton McDavids, because, of course, McDavid. I don't know that he plays defense, and that would fill a hole, but that's adding a good player if they can get him. We talked about it moments ago, though. The term's probably what's going to scare you. Guys like him tend to fall off cliffs in their young 30s.
They can. It's a young man's game. It's a speed game. You wonder where he'll be, because I'm with you. I don't think he signs a 3-year deal. It's got to be 4, 5, 6 in that range. And, yeah, you wonder about the last year or two of that deal. But for Edmonton, it's you're kind of one of those teams. You, right now, you're operating under a different set of circumstances. You go into a new building. You want to ignite your fans and energize them. And you need to win. The high picks, that whole thing has been over for a long time. You have McDavid now. You have one of the best players, if not the best player, coming up in hockey. Start to add around. Start to make some trades. Trade away picks. Get guys now to try and get better.
I'll say this. If they get Lucic and they take a forward at four, like let's say Tkachuk, what are they doing on D? I mean, you at that if you do those two things, you would have to think Eberle, Hall, Nugent Hopkins, one, two, three of those guys get moved because they need top four D. We've been saying it for how many years now?
Well, we were talking about it on the mock draft last night, and isn't it interesting there's a scenario that does exist. I don't know how likely it is. It's a new way of thinking, and it's a new world in terms of general managers. But wouldn't a Flames to four, Oilers 4-6 swap make some sense? Because I think the Oilers would if you're going to go with a D, you're probably going to like Sergachev. But four feels a little bit too high at six. Either it's Ualevi or Sergachev. Mm-hmm. That's a little easier to do there.
Top D's probably still available at six, you're thinking?
Yeah, I don't think any D go before six.
I'm curious about Vancouver at five, but they seem to like Dubois.
They like Dubois from what everything you've heard. So you can move up to four and get your Tkachuk or Dubois, whomever you like, and cross your fingers that somehow Puljujarvi drops. But it would never happen.
No.
But the Oilers would love to add an asset and drop a couple spots and still get their blue liner. And there's got to be a team somewhere in there that would love to get up to three to get themselves a Tkachuk or a Dubois.
Staying with some NHL gossip, if you didn't like the Alex Goligoski 5 years at almost $5.5 million, make sure you're strapped into seatbelt on, seat back and tray table in their upright and locked positions. Keith Yandel, 7 years, $44.45 million.
This just feels like one of the most egregious overpayments that we've seen in a long time. Just at first blush, and I mean, we can look into the numbers, I suppose. But to me, Keith Yandel is a guy who's on the other side. He's 29. He's still young enough. I just look at what he is, and he gets some points. But man, I don't view him as a top 10.
No.
Or 20 defensemen, even.
No.
And he's got a 7-year, 6.35. 7-year deal?
And a no move for six of the years, and then a limited sort of trade thing for the seventh and final year of the contract. I don't necessarily mind the dollars if you consider that this is a legit point producer, a guy that can run your power play, but defensively, it seems like he's got speed wobbles all the time in terms of just like he's that close to, you know, losing it seems. Not good defensively. Can you give that much term to this guy? Apparently, Florida's done it. Wow. And word out of Chicago, they're taking calls on both Andrew Shaw and, what is it, Marcus Kruger? Is that
yes.
The young centerman who was an RFA last summer. This is cap jail that Chicago's in. We talked about how tight they were to the cap last year. Well, they actually exceeded the cap by $3 million. How can you do that? Well, you're not allowed to be over the cap, but with bonuses you can.
Mm-hmm.
So not only does the cap barely go up this year, I believe $1.6 million, it goes from 71.4 to 73. Their cap is going to be $70 million because the $3 million they were over last year now comes out of this year's cap. And
yeah,
they were already in cap trouble. This is crazy. If you have to trade Saad away and Sharp away and Oduya away and the defenseman they picked up from Dallas who ended up going to Pittsburgh, whose name's eluding me right now.
Roosevelt? Or
Daly. Yeah. Trevor Daly.
Daly,
it's just the number of guys they've shipped out just because of salary in the last year and a half is stunning. And they're not done yet. Teravainen just to get Bickelbad mm-hmm. contract out of there. Like, you should be calling Chicago because you might get one of these two guys if you can take some cap away from them.
You know what? And the thing with Shaw,
he's earned his dough.
He's a unique player.
Yeah,
he's not that easily replaceable. What is he? Well, I mean, 24. He's still just a kid.
You know what? He's a great third line center.
20 goals, 15 goals, 14 goals. Now, yeah, that's playing with Chicago. Those numbers probably go down. But what he brings in this day and age, go to the net and battle. He's a bit of a wing nut, but you can probably rein him in a little bit.
let him be a wingnut on the ice.
Go out and go, dude. I like this guy a lot.
So that is about it for NHL gossip. And how about this? We are, what, 36 hours from round one of the draft, something around there?
That's math. I don't know.
It's unbelievable.
It's tomorrow night.
Yeah.
This is 24, 30.
12 hours would put us at 7 p.m.
Yeah. It's 5 close, o'clock man. Start, right?
This will be round one in prime time, and rounds two through seven on Saturday. We're there, man. It's
going
to be good. And the mock draft, again, you'll be able to catch on rotation before then, as well as online at sportsnet.ca/960. Let's get to the major leagues of baseball. Blue Jays bounce back in a big way after losing their opener of a two-game set to the Diamondbacks 2 days ago. In yesterday's matinee affair, the long ball getting it done for the Blue Jays.
3-2 pitch, fly ball deep left center field, heading for the wall, heading for the shadows, and there she goes!
Edwin destroys a baseball. 1-1 pitch is swung on and crushed. Left center field, that's hit a ton, and that's gone!
Yeah, so it was Russell Martin with a three-run shot, followed by Edwin Encarnacion and Troy Tulowitzki with solo shots late. That, a bit of a role reversal from 2 days ago. Remember, they allowed just three hits and lost? Well, they got out at 8-5 last night and find a way to win. Off day today, they'll head to Chicago to face the White Sox for their next set. No James Shields. Sad news. Sad trombone.
So they get Chris Sale, but don't get James Shields?
Correct.
That's not how you wanted that to work out.
No, definitely not. You'd prefer to face James Shields.
Yes.
Everyone gets a hit night. Finally, to Euro we go. A stunning day yesterday. The morning games were fantastic. Austria and Iceland tied 1-1 until a late goal from the Minnow Nation. Iceland, about the size of Saskatoon population-wise, is through to the round of 16 with that late goal. Hungary and Portugal was fascinating. You think they're excited in Iceland? Are you kidding me? That is unbelievable. Jay Adelman. I don't know if that's an exorcism or if that's a play-by-play guy, but they are wound up in Iceland. I mean, this really is one of the great underdog stories. The same year as Leicester City in soccer, we get a nation of less than 400,000 people getting through to the round of 16.
Now, listen to that again, and instead of it being a soccer goal or a win, think of him as though he's fallen into a vat of acid that's burning his skin.
Okay, let's have
Help me! It's burning.
Now imagine they've slid something under his nails that has an electric charge to it, and they flip the switch.
He's in a great deal of pain. He's in a great deal of pain.
Iceland are through, and they'll get England in the knockout round.
That acid is just burning.
It's burning
his undercarriage.
Here's what else you need to know. Most of the big nations are all on one side of the bracket. Germany, Italy, Spain, Ireland, France, England, all on one side of the bracket. On the other side, it's wide open. Switzerland, Poland, Croatia, Portugal, Wales, Northern Ireland, Hungary, and Belgium. So you like to be in that second group if you're trying to get through to the final, but you probably have to beat the best anyway to win this thing. Saturday is when elimination round action begins. There's your Pinder Report.
The Pinder Report for Motorworks, the only independent shop that works exclusively on BMWs with only BMW trained technicians. Google Motorworks Calgary or visit them just east of Chinook Mall.
Thank you very much. See you tomorrow.
Have you ever been dipped in a vat of acid?
Dipped would be the wrong word. I think
right?
I probably had acid poured on me for small amounts. Nothing that dangerous or scary.
So that's the cautionary tale right there. You could be that guy.
Oh, man.
We got a busy 7 o'clock coming up. Brian Trottier, our three stars, and more. Stay there. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.